Welcome back to the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet Line Change on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Nice choice, Rock. Let that play for a little bit. Jay, it's fitting, too, because Jay Ducote of the Food Network is going to join us. He'll talk about fried chicken or anything else food-related. Yeah. He's going to be at that Cajun cook-off tomorrow. So Jay's going to be our guest coming up in about 7 or 8 minutes. He's going to be one of the demonstrators tomorrow. He's a Food Network star, season 11 alum. So we'll look forward to talking to Jay here pretty soon.
Yeah,
I'm going to ask him, if I am trying to get into cooking and want to get better at it.
You're not, though, and you don't.
Other than that, it's a good start.
Okie dokie. Answer that question. Thanks. Thanks, DJ. If I was going to ask him something, what do I need to do to become a better cook? Seriously. Like, what's the first steps to start from scratch?
You know what you can't do, and this is a nice life lesson for you. Don't record that and play it for Kate. Don't do that. If you want to get better at cooking, Kate, here you go.
Buy a cookbook.
Here's my thing. I want TJ to go to elementary schools and give kids advice.
Yeah, I know.
You don't want to be good at it, so don't try it.
I think I give great advice.
You corrected me after saying cherish instead of flourish.
Well,
that's stupid on my part, though.
Can you give people the context?
Well, we're talking about climate change or whatever the hell, and I said things die when it gets cold. Things cherish when it gets warm, which means nothing. I meant to say flourish. That's just a simple mistake, though. And I picked up on it, which is good. That means I'm learning.
Sometimes
Rocco, I don't know. No one knows. Okay?
Sometimes, like penguins, things die when it gets warm, though. Like penguins. I mean, you know, polar bears.
Okay.
Regardless, that does not make up for anything that Kim said.
I make no sense, and it is what it is.
Okay, well, that's a life lesson, too.
Thank you.
We'll send both of you guys in to talk to schools. We'll do that.
I have, actually.
No, I believe
it. And I still do, believe it or not. Actually, talking to elementary kids is the most difficult, in my opinion.
Why?
You can't relate to them by any stretch of imagination. Half of them are... I talk to them, but really you're talking to the teachers and the principals and the parents that are there. That's who you're really speaking to. And the kids listen to it, don't get me wrong, but you're really kind of, you're talking to them through the kids. But the easiest is what we did the other day, TJ.
Which one?
When we just
don't a lot of things.
Go to a bar and they say, here's a mic, entertain us. We're like, okie dokie.
They did not give us a single thing to talk about.
Not one piece of guidance. We're just like, okay.
We sat at a table. Ordered a drink. I ordered my type of drink. And
I had to crush a couple before I got loose there. I'm like, okay.
A Shirley Temple, TJ?
Yeah, I did. I had like seven of those. I kept bringing them out.
I go, TJ, don't order that, please.
Were you able to drive?
That's a lot of sugar.
I go, TJ, just order a water with a lemon and a straw so it looks like a cocktail. But
no,
it's not.
I don't like lemon.
But anyway, I don't mind doing that, TJ, where you just sit down and they give you a mic and we're like, okay, let's go.
Once you get used to talking in front of people, if you have something to say, it's not a big deal. People are mortified of it. One, if you don't have something to say, that's hard as hell.
You're
just up there trying to entertain, and that's hard, especially when you're talking to kids. Like, you can't set something up and kind of be funny and then wait for a laugh with, like, six-year-olds. They don't understand what you're saying.
No, I can't, yeah.
No, it's great to talk to kids that young and not have anything to say. Just ask them questions. What's up, man?
No, they ask you questions.
What you got going on right now? Who, me? And then they're more intimidated, and then you can make fun of him and then talk about the other kid.
Yeah,
next
I mean, we used to go read to schools all the time. There's that element of it. But if you're actually going to speak to kids, I get asked all the time to go talk to these young kids when they're 7 and 8, and I get it, but it doesn't matter what you say. Like, I remember, like, going to Isaac Bruce's camp when I was in fifth grade, and... I have no idea what he said. I just know it was Isaac Bruce.
Yeah.
So it was the special moment that he was there.
That's my point, though. Those are the most difficult.
When I was that young, I was usually just waiting to get the autograph I'm going to try to get when it was over. Yeah. I don't know what you're going to say, Ozzie Smith. That's cool you're here, but I want to get your autograph.
Yeah, I don't even know what you have to say. Or it doesn't. Like, I won't remember tomorrow.
No,
I got
no,
ADD.
I
so
we've got some submissions in to help our colleagues-to-be, Martin and Charlie, name their show, from the 573. Get behind my campaign to name Martin and Chuck's show the coin slot. That's an innuendo.
I don't think I'm down with that one.
Coin slot?
Yeah, I'm not into that.
What does that have to do with Marlo?
Spelled like Martin's last name.
Yeah.
Like Martin Kilcoyne just spelled like his name C-O-Y-N-E.
Where's Charlie Marlo in that, though?
Well, Charlie already said it's the Martin Kilcoyne show with Charlie Marlo.
With another guy?
He said that when he was here the other day.
He did. Anything.
From a big old fan, Foxtrot. Well, that would work unless they got their employment with that. But that network ended at some point. Then I'd have to change the name of the show for obvious purposes. Can of Worms from Uncle Baldwin. The Chucky Marlowe and Martin Show. That's from Brandon in St. Charles. We'll get their opinions
on
this.
I say Killer and Marley.
Wow. That sounds like a buddy cop movie.
Killer and Marley, because that's what I'm going to call Kilcoyne. Killer. That's his nickname.
And Marley.
Marley. Marlowe. Marley. So you two nicknames.
Like Marley and Me, though, that's not good. That's a sad Killer story. Marley. Sad movie about a dog that dies.
Hey, is Marley
Spoiler
and Me
Killer Marlowe.
Is Marley and Me the most the movie it takes the biggest turn of all time?
It's terrible.
Oh God.
You're so happy, oh. So happy and then
we
again,
don't need to talk about
spoiler
that.
Alert,
I'm sorry about that.
The dog dies.
Like
oh
that.
My God.
I was so upset.
I'd rather see a human
and I'm
die.
Not even a dog guy, but man. It was terrible.
I know. Animals. Whew. Man,
you don't
man.
Love most things, CJ.
That's no, you that. Don't.
What I didn't hear what you said.
You don't love most things, he said.
I like all you guys, except for Eric.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
I love Eric. You know what? I pick on See, Eric you, because I love
that's
Eric.
That's right. Yeah.
We're boys.
You pick on people you love.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, me too, Eric. Yeah, that's what...
TJ and I are going to kiss on the lips
the rest
after
of you guys
show.
That I don't like.
Ew.
I
just... Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did. I was just going to let
yeah,
it
he's
slide
not worried
there.
About it.
A big old fan on the text line says, Cam can't talk to grade school kids because they read at a higher level than him.
Ooh.
I think that's just me.
I think that's completely fair.
They use better grammar, no doubt.
Better grammar note. Yeah, that worked. Uh-huh. I'm trying to correct you, TJ. I'm going to do it one of these days. You're going to slip up, dude.
I like whoever Hannah likes, and whoever Hannah doesn't like is who I don't like, because this is her show, per your parents.
That's true.
See?
That's true.
Maddie is officially a Hannah Lemming.
No. I like everyone.
No, I'm not a Hannah Lemming. I'm a Lemming for whoever writes my check.
It's a line change driven by Johnny Landolf.
I don't think
Chevrolet.
Hannah does that.
Johnny Landolf Chevrolet.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan
now,
Kelly.
And right now on the Ryan Kelly phone lines, it's time to talk to Jay Ducote. He was a star on the Food Network, and he will be in town tomorrow to demonstrate during the Cajun Cook-Off. What's up, Jay?
What's up, gentlemen and lady?
Are you enjoying your stay in St. Louis so far? Have you been to our town before?
I have been before. I came on a beer and baseball bachelor party trip a couple of years ago. Got to check out a Cardinals game and a bunch of craft breweries. So I had a lot of fun there and staying at the Hilton by the ballpark right now. So life is pretty good.
It was a bachelor party. So did you venture over to the other side of the river in Illinois there?
We did not. We kept it pretty safe over here. It was definitely more of a beer and baseball trip.
So tell us a little bit about your background for those that aren't familiar. How did you get involved in cooking and become really good at it, and then how did you sort of rise to stardom?
Well, good question. I started cooking tailgating for LSU football. I mean, a little bit at hunting and fishing camps with my dad growing up in Louisiana and in Texas, but it was really going to LSU and throwing tailgate parties that I learned how to cook. We would grill, fry, cook huge cast iron cauldrons of gumbo and jambalaya and red beans. And that's how I learned to cook. A lot of barbecue doing that as well. And, I always had a great time with it, but, I got a degree in economics and political science. And then I taught high school math and coached baseball for a couple years and then found myself working for the state of Louisiana doing grant writing. And I was bored out of my mind. And in my free time, I started writing about food. And that's what really got me back into the food world was as a food writer. And I did that as a blogger and a freelance writer for a little while, and then actually started my own food and drink radio show out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, talking about Louisiana's culinary culture and interviewing chefs. And the more that I did that, the more that I started to get back into cooking as well. That one thing just kind of led to another and got some opportunities to do some TV shows and cooked a lot of pop-up dinners and private events. And now I've launched my own product line with a barbecue sauce and Louisiana molasses mustard and a coffee and a wine, and got the opportunity to do Food Network Star a couple years ago. It was a blast, and opening up a taco shop in Baton Rouge this summer. So the list just keeps going on and on. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of a roller coaster of an adventure that I'm on, but it's a great time.
Hey man, I had to jump on your site and just see exactly what was going on, and I'm telling you, some of the stuff that you've got on this site,
oh,
I can't wait until tomorrow. Oh, like I literally might not eat dinner tonight, so I'm ready to go tomorrow. But man, this is looking like it's going to be a handful. But you know, you said you got started with tailgating, and you got started down there at LSU. How big of an experience is that down there, really putting together a big tailgate for a football game like that?
It's huge, man. Everything that you might hear about the tailgate scene at LSU, it's true and then some. I mean, it's a crazy party, but it's really so much about the food. All the Cajuns and all LSU fans come out and they throw down on campuses. So it's a big deal. It's a big part of the culinary scene in Baton Rouge is what gets cooked on LSU's campus on a game day. And there's a lot that goes into it. When I was a senior in college, we were throwing tailgate parties for 200 or 300 people. And feeding that many people out there and more importantly, having beer and whiskey for that many people out there. So, there was a lot of logistics that went into it for sure. It helped me, prepare for a lot of the kind of stuff I do now.
Jay Ducote joining us from the Food Network. He'll be at the Cajun Cook-Off tomorrow. He's with us on the Ryan Kelly phone lines. So being a big LSU fan, you must be pretty intimidated being in the footprint here of the University of Missouri.
Oh yeah, the Battle of the Tigers. I'm scared of that one.
Yeah, especially the way it's been going for Mizzou the last few years. I mean, that's a lot to be intimidated.
Yeah, Mizzou had a good run a couple years ago, kind of a welcome to the SEC and won the East. It was pretty cool to see, and unfortunately, they just kind of dropped off since then. I keep hoping they're going to put a good team together.
Well, TJ is too. TJ's hoping the same thing here too.
Yeah, we have a former Mizzou receiver here, TJ Moe. I was hoping you'd talk some trash to him about how much Missouri sucks.
And we've seen better days. We have.
Well, hey man, listen, we were talking about this right before you came on. If let's say we've got somebody on this show who wants to figure out how to start cooking himself. He wants to get into it because he's been maybe say a professional athlete for 10 plus years and has never even really been in a kitchen.
Well, all right.
What's the first thing you're telling him to do? Are you telling him just to get out of Dodge? What does he need to do to turn things around?
What do I need to do?
Get in this kitchen?
Well, you know, it really just depends on what you're looking for. If you're trying to start a restaurant or get into the restaurant world, there's two options. One is go to culinary school and dedicate yourself to it and learn through a program like that. And the other one is just go get a restaurant job. And it's going to start, whether it's washing dishes or just being a prep cook, coming in and learning some knife skills and chopping some onions. That's kind of what you have to do to get into it is just immerse yourself in it. The other option is to just start doing a lot more cooking at home and really brushing up on those skills and trying to figure out your passion and your voice in that world. That's honestly the direction that I kind of took, but I didn't ever think that I was going to turn it into my career the way that I did. Had I realized that, I might would have gone to culinary school instead of going to grad school in political science. But, you know, for me, it's just been a lot of passion and a lot of hard work. I found something that I always want to learn more about. And I don't think I felt that until I really got into the food world the way that I did, that I've got a real passion, not just for the food and how it's made and the science of cooking, but also the culture of it and the history of it and why people around different parts of the country eat what they do or even different parts of the world. And there's so much that you can learn about cultures around the world just by traveling and eating and having an adult beverage or two as well.
Absolutely. Jay, if you're kind of like me and you cook a little bit but not much and my lady's always getting on me to cook more, what are the easiest things for a guy to cook in the kitchen that are simple to learn, doesn't take a lot of time?
Yeah, there's a lot of good things that you can cook like that. A lot of meats, whether it's chicken breasts or pork chops or even steaks, you can do pretty easily with one pan in a kitchen. A lot of those cuts, I really like to do a sear and then roast method. So it's kind of foolproof. You just kind of get a oven proof pan or a cast iron skillet pretty hot, and you season your meat really well. You throw it on there, sear each side, and then transfer it to the oven until it's done. Obviously, with chicken, you got to make sure it's well done. With a nice steak, I like it medium rare, but that always works well. And then, you know, every guy needs to know how to roast some vegetables, local farm fresh vegetables. are pretty hot right now. If you can do that, your ladies are going to love it. And, you know, just chopping up whatever it might be, some Brussels sprouts, some cauliflower, anything that you can get at a local farmer's market, being able to, it's really simple. It's most of the time you just toss it in a little olive oil, salt, pepper, and roast it in the oven for 15, 20 minutes and you're good. So, a lot of ways to keep it simple and keep it fresh.
Now, Jay, I heard you're a big baseball fan. If I'm wrong there, correct me on that. So you're sitting down there right in what we like to think of at least as baseball mecca down there if you're at the Hilton by the ballpark. Who do you follow being from down in Louisiana? There's not a whole lot of teams close to down that area.
Yeah, so I grew up second grade through high school in Sugar Land, Texas, which is a suburb of Houston. So I was an Astros fan in the late 90s, watching the Killer Bees, Biggio and Bagwell, and then later Berkman and all those guys. And I mean, I remember as a young kid being in the Astrodome watching Nolan Ryan and Mike Scott pitch, and then later on, you know, in my high school time was the stretch that the Astros won the NL Central a handful of times. And under Biggio and Bagwell and those guys that are Biggio's in the Hall of Fame. Bagwell's going in this year. So those are the guys that I grew up watching, and I'm still an Astros fan. It's kind of weird now watching them play in the AL West instead of the NL Central and getting to play the Cards and the Cubs and those guys every year. But still an Astros fan at heart, and I guess now they're my AL team, so maybe I need a new NL team eventually. But if the Astros are in the fight, I'm cheering for them.
So then I can get your opinion about this. Do you think that the ball that Albert Pujols hit off Brad Lidge has landed yet?
Oh, my gosh. It ended his career. Brad Lidge was never the same. That was one of the most magnificent home runs that I've ever witnessed. And, yeah, Brad Lidge was done after that.
The Cajun kickoff event tomorrow, part of the Mardi Gras festivities. Tell us a little bit about people who want to come down, what they will expect to see and to taste at that event.
Yeah, that event's at the Soulard Market Park. It's the Cruzan Cajun Cook-Off. It's going to be a lot of fun. The event's from noon to 4 p.m. It's $45 at the door, but that's going to cover all your drinks, all your food, live music, I mean, the whole works. So that's all you're doing is paying to get in, and then everything's covered from there. There's going to be 10 amateurs competing in a Cajun cook-off. I'm going to be kind of hosting and emceeing and walking around and getting some comments from those guys about what they're doing and seeing how authentically Cajun their food might be. It should be a little bit of a tailgate party feel over there. And then there's going to be a stage for some cooking demos, and I'm going to be doing a demo or two, getting on stage and cooking myself. And a couple other local chefs are going to be doing that as well. Like I said, live music, plenty of beer and Cruzan rum and some other whiskeys to drink. So a good time to be had by everybody out there. It's gonna be some good food and music and booze. So can't argue with that with a Cajun cook-off.
Absolutely, oh, yeah. And several of us are gonna be there. So we look forward. We'll have to come over and say hello, and should be a good event.
Yeah, Jay. Please do.
We will.
Thanks for taking the time, man. We'll see you tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. Sounds great. Have a good one.
Jay Cody of the Food Network with us here on the Ryan Kelly
cool
phone
cat.
Lines.
Although I have to do a lot of stuff before I'm able to feed myself.
Yeah, I think you need to immerse yourself first. So which restaurant are you choosing to
because
go,
he, well, I
start
go to,
picking at?
You're right. I gotta work at a restaurant before
yeah.
I can feed
which
myself.
Which restaurant?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
There's a White Castle's around the corner. You can do
how
both.
To make smoothies.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's not hard.
No. Okay, I could
strawberries
do that.
And mostly everything.
I could do that. I could do that.
TJ, can I get some Smoothie King passes?
I wanted to tell him, like, I want to start cooking to be able to just to feed myself and stay alive.
What'd you say, Maddie?
Can I get some Smoothie King passes?
Well, I don't know if there's really a pass. Like, this isn't an amusement park.
Like, you can't give me something to get free food?
Yeah, you know what the hell he's talking about.
Hook us up, TJ.
Wait a minute, me. If you guys are going to all travel down to Fenton, Missouri.
I come all the way out here. I might as well keep driving.
7 minutes away.
Yeah, I guess that's close to you guys as far from me.
Yeah.
So what's up? How about that
when
answer?
We get to Kirkwood, I'll bring some. How's
okay.
That?
Okay. He's going to bring us one smoothie for the
one
duration
smoothie.
Of the
you
show.
You guys have to share it.
Kid size.
Thank you. Thank you, TJ.
Make sure you head on down to that Cajun cook-off tomorrow if you get a chance. It should be a great event. Coming up next hour, Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch and the Writer's Block, which ended their run here on 590 The Fan earlier today. He's going to join us at 6:15. This is the Line Change driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.